The title of the lesson is Saved to Serve. A few months ago, we looked at how to develop a relationship with God. We learned in that lesson that only the obedient know Him. 1 John 2:4. Only the obedient love Him. John 14:23-24. Only the obedient are His friends. John 15:14. And only the obedient are of His family. We looked at the importance of obedience to God as it relates to our relationship with Him, and we saw that there is so much more to having a genuine relation with Him, and we saw that it is much more to having a relationship with God than just feeling it or thinking it in our hearts. A relationship with God is a long-term commitment and dependent upon obedience to His wills. And to His will. Christians are therefore saved to serve. To introduce this lesson, let us consider that enjoying and fulfilling our Christian relationship with God involves accepting the responsibilities inherent in that relationship. Every right implies a responsibility. Every opportunity implies an obligation. Every possession implies a duty. A relationship with God that has no duty is like a tree without roots. It cannot grow, it will wither, and it will die. And duty with no service is like a tree with no fruit. It cannot provide sustenance, and it will not spread out. It is through the fruit that trees make their seeds. No fruit means no seeds. And no seeds means no growth and no more seeds of truth for the Christian to sow. A Christian is a person called to God's service. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 reads, "For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye," and listen to this, "turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Those who are Christians are called to turn to God, to turn away from the world, and to serve Him. Christians have an obligation to fulfill their individual service. Paul wrote in Colossians 4:17, which reads, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Paul commanded the church in Colossae to tell Archippus to fulfill the ministry that he had been given. This teaches individual, personal service. All Christians are to view their service on a personal level. What can I do to serve God? Where do I fit in? How can I help? Certainly the body of Christ engages in organized group efforts, but each group consists of individuals working together in fulfillment of a specific role towards a common goal. Each individual in a group has a specific responsibility. As Bobby has been teaching, we need to personalize things. And we are going to expand that idea to include our Christian service. The spiritual kingdom, which we are members of, is a realm of activity. We can see this evident in the various terms that the Bible uses, that the inspired writers used to describe Christians. Christians are described as being branches by Christ in John 15:1-8. Looking particularly at verses 5 and 6, that's in John 15:1-8. We're going to start reading in verse 5, but 1-8 is the entire context. We see that Jesus teaches us in this context that "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Now that's just a couple of verses out of that entire context. Jesus says, "Those who do not will be burned." Christians are illustrated as farmers. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Farmers who expect to be successful are not idle. They, like Christians, have to work at it. Hard-working Christians, like farmers, will sow and reap bountifully. Christians are described as soldiers. 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul wrote, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Soldiers have duties. They are expected to protect. They are expected to defend. And they are expected to serve. Christians are described in Scripture as athletes. 1 Corinthians 9:24. That's 1 Corinthians 9:24 for anybody who's trying to follow along. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." This is an illustration of dedication and perseverance. Christians are described as workers, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Biblical faith is not passive. True faith is a work. Paul instructed Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Paul told Timothy to study so that he would be a good workman for the Lord. And likewise, Christians are workers for Christ. Christians are to be laborers. Matthew 9:37. It's Matthew 9:37. That's Jesus speaking there, starting in verse 37. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then John 6:27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." All of these terms used to describe Christians represent action. Faithful Christian service is much more than just saying, "Lord, Lord." An examination of these terms used to describe members of the kingdom of Christ shows that we are expected to be fruitful and to be productive branches. We are to be like the farmers who sow many seeds. We are to protect and defend the truth like good soldiers. And we are to strive for the goal with patience and perseverance like the athlete working and laboring in the service of Christ. As Christians, we are expected to be fruitful. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. That's Paul speaking. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Christians are to be fit for God's use in His kingdom. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 through 21, the words of Paul in instructions to Timothy, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet." And that's in the King James Version. That means fit for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. Christians are expected to be profitable. 2 Timothy 4:11. "Only Luke is with me." These are the words of Paul again. "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul wanted Timothy to bring Mark with him because he was profitable. Mark was someone Paul knew that he could depend on to work. This, we should see that Christians are a part of a kingdom of service. Christians are saved to serve. What does a Christian's activity consist of? In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul wrote, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul is telling the Christians at Corinth to abound or to be plentiful in the work of the Lord. So what is the work of the Lord that we're supposed to abound in and be plentiful? What is the work that we're supposed to do? We are saved to serve. So what must we do? The three basic works of the church, or the body of Christ, and us as individuals by inference, is number one, we are to engage in acts of benevolence. Galatians 6, 9 through 10, and I know I'm going through these scriptures fast, and I apologize for that, but we won't get out of here until late if I wait too long. Galatians 6, 9 through 10, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We are supposed to be generous and do good things for all men, both sinners and Christians alike. When we see a Christian in need, we are obligated all the more to help them. Jesus went into more detail in Matthew 25. The entire verse, the entire chapter of Matthew 25 speaks about this, but time doesn't permit, so we're just going to look at verse 35 and 36, which kind of sums the whole chapter up, where Jesus says, "For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." We are to engage in acts of kindness, generosity, and concern for those who are old, sick, or afflicted. And in the context of Matthew 25, we learn that those who help others, it's the same as helping Christ. And for those who do not help others, it's the same as neglecting Christ. He taught that in that context. Number two, another work that we are to engage in is edification. We are to work to edify the body of Christ. This means we are supposed to instruct ourselves and build each other up in the knowledge of God. And Ephesians 4, 14 through 16 reads, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Basically, in simple terms, Paul is saying that everybody works together to build each other up unto the edifying of itself, the edifying of the body. The third work that we are to engage in, and this is where we get into what Bobby has been dealing with in his lessons, is evangelism. We've got three works that we're to engage in: benevolence, edification, and evangelism. The third one, going along with Bobby's lessons the past few weeks, we are to engage in these types of works. There are many ways to achieve this. We are to teach. 2 Timothy 2:24 reads, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Apt means willing and able. We are to preach. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. We are to preach only the word. We are to do it in or out of season, meaning whenever we get the opportunity, whether it's the right time or not, in or out of season. We are to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, which means to convince, correct, and encourage. How do we do this? With all long suffering or patience and kindness. And our guide for this is the doctrine or teaching of Christ, the Bible. That's our guide. This means telling others about Christ whenever we have the opportunity. It means looking for those opportunities and acting on them when we find them. People outside the body of Christ see us doing good, living right, serving each other, serving others, living to a higher standard. They see our joy and hope evident in our behavior and actions, and hopefully they'll want to be a part of that. They see that we are family. They see that we love each other and that we care for each other. And maybe they'll want to join in and be a part of that. There are lots and lots of ways to evangelize. It may be as simple as handing someone a card or a tract or asking them if they would like to come to services. It might be that others see your dedication and devotion and want to come with you and want to learn more. Christians are called to serve. We serve God by doing good to others, building ourselves up in the faith, and evangelizing or spreading the good news of salvation. Christianity is not a passive system of faith. It is a system of action. And it is upon this action or service that the existence of the body of Christ depends. If we as members of the Church of Christ in this community do not fulfill our obligations of service, this congregation will cease to exist. We are assembled here today because someone many decades ago did their job. If this congregation is going to be here 20 years from now, we have to do our jobs today. We have to serve today. What is the correct attitude that we should have about our service? We need to develop certain attitudes concerning our Christian work. First of all, we are to be grateful for the opportunity to serve. Paul expressed his gratitude to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:12. And I was just amazed when I read this. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul suffered great persecution for his Christian service. Yet we see here that he was grateful for that. Our attitude about our service should be no less. Our opportunity to serve is a privilege. And Paul received that privilege because God saw that he could trust him with it. When we are given the opportunity to serve, we should have it in our minds that God trusts us. And we should be grateful for that trust and work to demonstrate that the trust God has in us is well-founded. We should be willing to take the initiative and serve without being prodded or pushed into it. Paul urged Timothy to be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's in 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul told Timothy to step up and live as an example and show others how to live, not just preaching to them and telling them. He told him to show them. Paul taught the Christians in Philippi, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Philippians 2:14. We are to have a positive and upbeat attitude about our service to Christ. We are to show enthusiasm and be zealous and eager. Paul wrote to Titus in 2:14, who gave himself for us, speaking of Jesus here, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous, eager to do good works. Christians are to be persistent in service. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Patience and persistence are vital if we are to be successful. We cannot expect everyone we encounter to just drop everything and embrace God with open arms and total commitment at the first time that we open our mouths. That's not going to happen. And we are not to give up on them when they don't. We must have the attitude of preparing and traveling the long haul. Sometimes the seed of truth takes a little time to sprout and grow. There are many ways a Christian can serve in the kingdom of Christ. There are many jobs to do and many things that can be done. When considering our service, we need to ask ourselves questions. Questions that make us look inward on ourselves. We need to examine our abilities and our opportunities. We need to ask questions like, number one, in what way am I especially blessed by God? Number two, what do I possess that might be useful in the Lord's work? What have I got? What can I do? What have I got that would work, that would be productive, that would be fruitful? Number three, what do I derive fulfillment from doing? We're all going to like doing the things that we like to do. So if there's things that we enjoy doing, then by all means, then let's engage in those. Number four, which goes into that, what do I enjoy doing? Number five, what comes naturally for me? There are some folks like Bobby. He is an awesome public speaker. I can only wish that I could be as effective as he is. It is the hardest thing for me to stand up in front of crowds and speak, but Bobby just seems like it's just, he was born for it. And that is something that comes naturally for him. There are other things that people can do that just come naturally for them. What can we do that just comes naturally? And what might I learn to do? There's all kinds of things that we can learn. None of us emerged from our cradles knowing how to work with computers, knowing how to preach, knowing how to talk to people, knowing how to do good, to call on people, to send cards. These are all things that we learn. So just because we don't know something, how to do something that needs to be done, that doesn't mean we can't learn to do it. Obviously, we are more comfortable with doing things that fit in with the abilities that come naturally for us, so we need to watch for opportunities that fit within our abilities. But it does not stop with just that. What might we learn to do? What other abilities may we be able to develop that would aid our service to Christ? We always need to be watchful for that kind of thing. And concerning our opportunities, concerning the things that happen that provide us with these opportunities, we need to ask, number one, what needs to be done in the Lord's work? We need to look around and see a need, see what needs to be accomplished, see what needs to be helped with. Number two, what scriptural restrictions govern the work? There are some things that we can't do. We don't raise money for the church with bake sales. We're not authorized to do that kind of stuff. We're not authorized to use instrumental music. So there are restrictions on what we do. You might be a great pianist. You might be a wonderful violinist, but we're not going to do that in the worship service. So we need to understand the restrictions. Number three, what other factors may limit my opportunity? Number four, what is now being done inadequately? Is there a work going on that you might have a particular skill at that you could help with? We can look around and we can see what's going on and see if we can help out. What problems exist that need to be solved? Do we have any problems that are hindering our evangelism? Do we have any problems that are keeping us from growing or from going out and talking to people or from working and serving God in any way? If we've got problems that need to be solved, then we need to solve them. Number six, what are others doing that I need or can help with? All of these things have something to do with the opportunities that we see around us. These are questions that we can ask ourselves to better deal with these opportunities. All of these things need to be examined. And if there is a need, then we should be working to try and fill that need. If there is a need we can't fill, then we should be working to develop the ability to do so. And we need to be encouraging to others who are trying to do those things. The inability to do something does not necessarily excuse us of doing it. There are some things that just have to be accomplished whether we know how to do it or not. And finally, let's take a look at some of the various terms used for where we are to serve as Christians. Christ frequently referred to the world as a vineyard. He spoke of vine dressers and laborers in his teachings. The imagery of a vineyard suggests a place where work is performed. Brethren, a vineyard is not a lounge. The imagery of a vineyard suggests hard work, dedication. When one thinks of a vineyard and they know what a vineyard is like, then they know it is not a place of rest and relaxation. A vineyard is a place where work is done. Another term that Jesus used to describe the world was the harvest. Other related terms in association with this idea of a harvest is sowers, reapers, and laborers. All of these terms portray the imagery of action. Notice Jesus' usage of these terms in Matthew 9, 37 through 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. All of these terms suggest Christ's kingdom as being a place where members are active and busy. Christians are saved to serve in God's vineyard. Christians are saved to serve in God's harvest. Christians are saved to serve Christ. Jesus Christ made it plain in Matthew 25 that when we serve others, we serve Christ. And when we fail to serve others, we fail to serve Christ. We saw earlier that a big part of our Christian service is out in the world. That world is God's vineyard. That world is God's harvest. Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go ye into all the world. He said, go. We are saved to serve. And the world is a big part of where we as Christians are expected to serve. Jesus did not say, set ye in the pews. He said, go ye into all the world. The world starts just outside those doors at the front of the building. That is where Jesus told us to go. That is the vineyard that we are expected to work in. That is the harvest that we are expected to help reap. The need is there. The harvest is plenty. We are living in the mission field. Bobby has given us some practical advice these past few weeks on how we can better accomplish this. Let's work together. Let's get a plan. Let's serve God the best we can. We are Christians, and we are saved to serve. So let's examine ourselves, and then let's examine the need. As long as there is a single soul lost in the world, we are obligated to try and shine the light of God's truth on His path. There is more to do. Can we do it? There is more need. Can we fill it? There is opportunity. Can we take advantage of it? What can we do to better serve our Lord? These are questions we must always ask ourselves. We must never let ourselves become complacent. We must ever strive to grow and get stronger and mature as Christians and get better and do more. We're going to read from Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, and then the lesson will be yours. We'll extend the invitation. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, for anybody that wants to turn to that. This is following up on the heels of Hebrews 11, where the writer penned what we sometimes call the Hall of Faith. where he mentioned numerous people of the faith in the Old Testament who died for their faith, who did all sorts of wondrous things for the name of God. And he follows this up talking about these great heroes of faith that Hebrews chapter 11 was just full of. Starting in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," speaking of the heroes of faith in verse 11, "that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." The lesson is yours. If there is anybody here this evening who has any need, if anybody wants to be baptized into Christ and be forgiven of their sins, if anybody needs the prayers and encouragement of the congregation, now is the time for that, to make your need known, if you'll come and sing the song of encouragement.